This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, and Tina Camellia and Sharmila Gunnison. If you've just joined us, this is our brand new show happening at 2 p.m. from Monday to Friday, where we will be discussing local and international news to give you something to think about as you get through the afternoon.
Yeah, so earlier we were asking you, what are you going to do to what? How are you going green in 2019? Kelly WhatsApped to say that she bought metal straws and will be using them from now onwards. Yeah, go Kelly. Giri says, I've bought a reusable cup for my daily coffees. Good.
Think of all that, you know, paper and plastic you're saving. Wonderful. Yep. So we've covered visual arts and women's rights before this. And now we're going to train our focus on climate change and the environment. And here's everyone's favorite naturalist. He's my favorite naturalist. Bias.
You mean everyone doesn't have a favorite naturalist?
Of course they do. Surely. Moving on. Sir David Attenborough, to set the mood for this story.
Right now, we're facing a man-made disaster of global scale, our greatest threat in thousands of years, climate change. If we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon. The United Nations provides a unique platform that can unite the whole world. And as the Paris Agreement proved, together we can make real change happen. The world's people have spoken. Their message is clear. Time is running out. They want you, the decision makers, to act now. They're behind you, along with civil society represented here today, supporting you in making tough decisions, but also willing to make sacrifices in their daily lives.
So yes, that was Sir David Attenborough, who last November at the UN Climate Change Summit in Poland spoke of how the collapse of civilization and the natural world is on the horizon. And just to reiterate what he said, the world's people have spoken. Time is running out. They want you, the decision makers, to act now. Leaders of the world, you must lead. The continuation of civilizations and the natural world upon which we depend is in your hands. So, you know, studies have shown that the 20 warmest years on record have been in the past 22 years and the top four in the past 4 years. And according to the UN, climate action must be increased fivefold to limit warming to the 1.5 degrees Celsius that scientists advise that will, you know, get us out of the
imminent end of our
catastrophe ahead of us. But, you know, that battle has become harder with world leaders like Brazil's Jair Bolsonaro, who just took office on the 1st of January, arguing that global warming is nothing more than greenhouse fables. So, you know, sounding a lot like
where
some,
have we heard that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just a few hours after taking office on Tuesday, he launched an assault on environmental and Amazon protections with an executive order transferring the regulation and creation of new indigenous reserves to the agriculture ministry, you know, as I mentioned earlier. And this is controlled by the powerful agribusiness lobby. So yeah, no bias there at all.
Yeah. Bolsonaro is often compared to Donald Trump in the US and has a record of racist, misogynistic and homophobic views. He also, like Trump, adopted a protectionist economic doctrine during the election and vowed that he would withdraw Brazil from the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. During last year's election campaign, Bolsonaro promised to end demarcation of new indigenous lands, reduce the power of environmental agencies, and free up mining and commercial farming on indigenous reserves. His measure also gave the agriculture ministry power over new rural settlements inhabited by descendants of former slaves.
Well, and he certainly keeps great company because Silas Malafia, who's an influential televangelist and a close friend of Bolsonaro, said developed countries who centuries ago cut down their own forests should pay if they wanted Brazil to preserve the Amazon. In fact, he actually said, we're going to preserve everything because they destroyed what they had.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a line that you know, a lot of developing countries are taking, you know, that they didn't cause it, so why must they suffer now? You know, strangely enough, even the Americans are taking that stance as well. And I mean, when will it end, right? Who's
right, it's just a constant circle of blame while the earth and the rest of us suffer.
Yeah. So, you know, just back in November last year, Tina, you actually spoke to Arthur Lukowski. He's the special envoy on climate of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Poland, you know, where COP24 was held. And, you know, he acknowledged that the efforts to negotiate how to turn pledges made in the 2015 Paris Agreement deal into reality, how that's just becoming harder and harder with people like Trump and
now it's Bolsonaro.
You know, even people like Duterte, you know, all.
Yeah. All of them.
Anyway, here's Arthur.
It's true that the political landscape since Paris meeting changed. And it's true that this process is facing new challenges, and that's the matter of reality. And That's the reason why we understand that there is a time right now in Katowice in December this year to act and to take the decision. Because what we are communicating to the parties that the future won't be easier. The future won't be easier for taking the more advanced and ambitious decision about the future of the climate change regime. So the act in Katowice is our message to the countries to answer these challenges we are facing.
I don't think that went down well with some of the leaders who obviously, you know, since COP 24, you know, have, you know, like Bolsonaro over here. But I mean, you know, from speaking to Arthur that when he came to the studio back in November, I mean, how did you feel about it? You know, what was, you know, how was... Yeah, how did you feel about it?
You can tell he's a career diplomat. he seemed very measured, but also optimistic, you know. And although COP24 has ended, you know, I don't think Poland's role has ended. The Katowice rulebook, which is the main output from that COP meeting, is in a way Poland's mark on the global climate stage. They're moving from being a coal country to, you know, something much greener. And I'm sure they're eager to ensure that the rule book is followed through, because it kind of outlines how the Paris Agreement is going to be implemented come 2020. And, you know, Brazil at that COP also... they decided to pull out from their candidacy to host the next COP24. Yeah. I remember because I covered the COP prior to Poland, and there was a huge fight between Brazil and Argentina, and they're like mortal enemies. It's like the US and Canada or Malaysia and Singapore or Australia and New Zealand, right? So they had that relationship, and it was a very tense fight. And then now Brazil is like, nope, we're not going to host it because we don't believe in it. So
I think the only good news that I've heard, you know, is that despite his promises, Bolsonaro it's not that easy for him to, you know, pull out of the agreement because it was the Brazilian Congress made up of, you know, many, many different parties. You know, so they are the ones that signed on to this. So he's going to have to get each and every one of them to agree to it.
Yeah.
So that at least is going to give him a bit of trouble, hopefully. But I mean, you know, these wide-ranging rules that he's made, that's also going to have a lot of problems in the interim. But so, I mean, why are we so worried about what's happening over in Brazil?
Well, I mean, here are just some of the things about the Amazon rainforest that we may not necessarily know. It's the world's largest storage space for carbon and a crucial node in our planet's ecosystem. And at 670 million hectares, the Amazon rainforest is still easily the world's largest rainforest. It's larger than Western Europe. It's larger than India. You can wander in it for years, you know, without ever seeing its edge. I think this has actually happened to some, you know, explorers. And in the last few decades, the rainforest has shrunk by about 20% due to deforestation. And by some estimates, more than 100 billion tons of carbon are actually stored in the Amazon rainforest. Now, if you want to put that into perspective, that's about 10 times the annual global carbon emissions from fossil fuels. If the trees that hold this carbon were cut, nothing else we do about climate change may actually make a difference.
Yeah. So, and I guess, I mean, why are the forests being cut down? Obviously, the answer is agriculture, you know, and, you know, Brazil, demand for Brazilian soy and beef is now to a large degree a factor of demand in the US or in China, you know. So there is, yeah, so there's this huge demand for it. You know, according to the OECD, Brazil will account for almost half of the world's sugar exports by 2026 and, you know, 40% of global soybean volumes, with global demand growing rapidly from now until then. So there's It doesn't look too good. It doesn't look too good, especially with a president like that in charge. But back in 2017, I actually spoke to Dr. Jose Manuel Vieira Fragoso. He is a research associate at the California Academy of Sciences, U.S., and at Brazil's National Institute for Amazonian Research. So his work actually addresses matters related to the role of biodiversity in carbon storage, the influence of culture on resource use, the sustainability of human-occupied tropical forests in an increasingly globalized world, and also the socio-ecological sustainability of rural livelihoods in the Amazon. So why is this all important? Because, you know, with Bolsonaro's plans to, you know, take away indigenous communities' rights, all of these things are going to be lost.
Right.
And yeah, so here he is actually talking about how researchers are still discovering new ecological benefits from the Amazon.
I think for really the first time that we're aware of, someone was showing that the diversity of animals and big animals like mammals has some influence on the carbon cycle and carbon levels in soil. Mm-hmm. We had suspected this before, and people had talked about it, and some modeling work had shown that it was possible. But no one had ever yet, in an empirical way, with actual data and actual measurements of animal diversity, been able to link these two things. And we were able to do that in the Amazon. And we were also able to show that the mammals through the soil were also influencing tree storage of carbon as well. And so that was kind of a major new finding.
Yeah, so, you know, that was just as recent as 2017. So, again, you know, researchers are doing, I mean, like you said, it's huge, so many things undiscovered, you know, so much potential. Carbon storage is something that we need. But I guess with these new rulings in place, a lot of things about the Amazon will remain undiscovered. But even when leaders fail you, you can, of course, act on your own. The UN's new Climate Action Act Now chatbot that recommends everyday actions like taking public transport, eating less meat, a very unpopular decision among many in this office, and all of these things. And it actually tracks the number of actions everyone is individually taking. And the campaign highlights the impact that collective action can have at this critical moment in our planet's history. So, by sharing your climate action progress with your followers on social media, you know, with, you know, influencers like the both of you here, for example, Tina and Sharmila.
I think I might need to be influenced first. But yes, I have good thoughts on this.
So get to that chatbot right now. It's called the Climate Action Act Now chatbot. And share it, you know, like we said, you know, even when the leaders fail us, at least everyday actions that you do, you know, can make a difference. And I think at this point, any sort of action will really help.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys have any, you know, resolutions this year for going green? Or
well, actually, joining BFM, as you know, I've only been here less than a year, has really encouraged me, especially with the bigger picture team being such a green team. I now have my own takeaway containers for lunch.
Well,
I have my
done.
Own coffee containers, one for hot drinks and one for cold drinks. So I feel very proud of myself.
Yeah, baby steps, you know.
Yes, yes.
Think of all that plastic and paper that you've not used.
Hope so. That I'm learning, but I think I'm also learning that actually once you start doing these things, they're not as difficult as you initially think they're going to be.
Mm-hmm. And Tina, I mean, you already have exemplified. people don't know, but you know, you are a zero waste advocate. You know, you practically live that life.
Your handkerchief.
Handkerchief, yeah.
Yeah, metal straws. on that train way, way before.
Saying no presents unless they're zero waste. Now that is a big step.
All of that, guys. Do it. Come on. It's easy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the resources are out there. You know, we've done so many interviews with zero waste advocates on BFM, you know, on Bigger Picture Earth Matters. So, you know, just look for those podcasts if you need to. And I mean, just personally, I just wanted to share that my resolution, and I hope people, you know, listen to what I'm saying, is to stop giving my child toys, plastic toys, because my house is a graveyard of broken plastic toys and I don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I think these are the things I think that people don't think about, right? Because I remember reading this beautiful article which said if you want to give, say, a friend's child or a relative's child toys, why not instead give them an experience or give them your time?
Yep. Yep.
And I think that just a shift in thinking that things don't always have to be material, not only is it good for the environment, it's actually a really good lesson to pass on to your children.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed. Yeah. As I said, you know, when I go traveling now, I don't buy silly, you know, tokens or whatever, you know, take home things. It's just we pay for experiences, you know, go for rides, go pay that money at a national park and experience things. So
yeah, exactly.
So many ways we can do it. So that's all we have for this hour. If you miss any part of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on BFM.my or on our BFM app or Spotify. The Daily Digest will be back again same time tomorrow. But coming up after the 3 p.m. news, it's Front Row. And today we have an interview with dancer Anita Ratnam, who hails from India. Till then, I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharon Laganison and Tina Camellia. And we leave you now with Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.